The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 439. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing? How you doing?
And joining us once again as a special guest, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
Starfield is game of the year, apparently.
Oh, shit. That's crazy. Rich, man, thanks for being on. Yo, you're like becoming a regular now, man.
Yeah, man.
But there's a lot going on in the industry, and we obviously want your expertise, man. So thanks for being on again, bro.
Oh, it's always a pleasure talking with you, gentlemen. And, of course, interacting with the fans. It's going to be a fun show tonight.
Definitely, man. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to Mr. Weapon X, Reggie Butler, who joined us on Throwdown Your Questions. Very interesting episode, as Rich would say, you know. Reggie, he's family, you know, so it's always good to have him on. Speaking about regulars, so Brett will be on in about 20 minutes. He's getting off of work. We don't know what's going on with Chris. And Brian will be back in July-ish. He's still sorting out his whole moving situation, but he's doing good. He checked in with us. Everything's fine. It's just, you know, if you guys moved, you know how that shit could be, you know, all encompassing. So, you know, but Brian's doing good over there in the England's, you know, drinking tea and all that shit, whatever they do over there, you know.
He's like,
saluting the king, you know.
He'll be back and be like, kept you waiting, huh?
Kept you waiting, huh? You know. I was talking to somebody and they were like, yo, you should have Brian say this. I'm like, you realize Brian doesn't have that funky London accent, right? He speaks regularly, you know? It's like, oi, you know? Like,
yeah, he doesn't have a Cockney accent.
No, he doesn't, no Cockney accent, but he also doesn't have that kind of thick London accent, you know? Like, you could spot a fucking Londoner accent a mile away, you know? The London accents are kind of like the equivalent of like New York accents. They break shit off at the end. You know, they don't pronounce the whole thing. You know, I love you, Gary. You got one of those accents, bro. You know, I still remember Gary was telling me about his song, like, you know, because he used to rap and stuff. That song, Out of Order. But when he says like, I'm like, those are vowels, bro. Those aren't words. <You know? laughs> Yeah, shout out to Gary, man. You know, huge inspiration. He's still doing his thing out there, you know. Mm-hmm. Published author, which is something a lot of journalists can't say, you know. So shout out to Gary. Gary always wants to be on Throwdown, but, you know, the time differences is kind of fucked up. But Gary, he's always here with us in spirit. I know he's listening right now. So shout out to you, Gary, man. You're my brother for life, man. And with that, let's get into it. So, yes, non-E3 week is officially over, and there are still some things we got to discuss. And the main reason we have Richard on tonight is because he was actually there in L.A. during most of this, you know, festivities, you know, so he's going to give us some firsthand accounts.
For a second, I thought you were going to say fiasco.
No, fiasco, yeah.
Is Summer Game Fest over?
Yeah, it's over, yeah.
I thought it was like multiple days or weeks.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up, Adam, because I think Summer Game Fest is just one day now. Because
it used to be that, right? I remember it. Yeah, I was like, damn, all right.
Yeah, no, it's just like this. And if you think about it, like these companies on their own created E3 week without the ESA. Pretty interesting, right?
It's like street fairs, you know? It's like, oh, it's a holiday, and then the street fair opens up. Yeah. And then it's down. Oh, what's the celebration? Yeah, no, we just put some shit together. That's our celebration. It. Show up and bring your wallet. Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, with the hot dogs at? Where the burgers at? Exactly. Yo, they're over there, you know? Oh, yo, they're rerouted traffic for this shit, you know?
I can get some falafels? Oh, you okay. Know? Let's do that. Jerky? All right. Got a jerky truck?
Yeah. So, Rich, man, regardless with them stories, so like, when did you arrive in LA, and just tell us what the general vibe was, and, you know, tell us about all the shows you attended, whoever you ran to, anything, man. Again, give us exact details.
Oh, yeah. So my initial plan was to arrive Thursday, because I actually had tickets to go to the Summer Games Fest stream that everybody saw from the YouTube theater. Now, I say that was my plans because it did not work out that way, because my flight was delayed.
Uh-oh.
So by the time I got to L.A., they were already starting to let people in at the event. So I ended up just going to my hotel to check in, because I already had appointments for the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. So just to clarify one thing about Summer Games Fest, for everybody that watches the stream, it is only one day, but if you go to this event, they have Summer Games Fest play days. That's 2 days where media and content creators get to actually play whatever games they potentially showed at the actual show. And it just so happens that this year, around that time, it timed up with the Microsoft Xbox showcase, as well as the Ubisoft showcase. So actually, it was a couple of days, because it had all these different things happening. But basically, to start off, you know, my first day started off on Friday. I saw a couple of different games, and some of these games I've actually already started to write previews about. You can see on the website, thecoalition.com. So the first game I saw was Mortal Kombat 1. I thought that was excellent. Didn't really get to interview anybody. I did run into our very good friend, Hip Hop Gamer. You know, I saw him frequently. Yeah, I saw him frequently throughout this trip. And he was very excited, you know. But let me just go ahead and give a shout out to Hip Hop Gamer, because this actual event that they have it at, it's this place called Social Club. It's like it's like a bit of a venue. It's downtown Los Angeles, but it's like a very secluded area, and it's kind of small. But what they did this year is that they actually had different sections on a map to let you know, okay, a studio who is actually at the event, they'll be in this section, so on and so forth. So they actually did a very good job with the actual map that they laid out. And I took pictures of some of this stuff, which you can also see on the Coalition Instagram. I'll probably put some of that stuff on the website as well. But pretty much that first day, I played Mortal Kombat. I played Remnant 2, which is a game that I know that Brett is very much looking forward to. So, I'm sold on that. Alan Wake 2, which I thought was fantastic, because I got a chance to see that. Now, I want to make it very clear, we did not get to play that game, because...
Okay, I was just about to ask you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They played it for us, but the entire demo was running on PlayStation 5 dev kit. So I guess they wanted to show us how it looked. And again, it looks very much how it looked when they showed the presentation of it. It looks like it's a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. And towards the end of the day, they actually had a Tekken 8 mixer. Like, you know, because that's the one thing that, and this reminds me of when we go to E3, they have these little parties and so on and so forth where you can go and meet different people. So I did see Jeff Keighley quite several times while I was there. I saw him engaging in conversations with Phil Spencer. I don't know what those conversations were. I know it was very funny to see that, though. But let me just say this. I do want to give a shout out to Hip Hop Gamer, because we always make the jokes about Hip Hop Gamer is always excited every time you see him. And that is true. But what he does is, anytime he goes to these events, like, it could be a random person there that he doesn't even know, he'll just go up to them and start dapping them and saying, well, what's up? And it's funny this time, because there was a security every time we come into the actual event. There's security outside.
Did he have a belt?
Of course he does.
Oh yes, he always has that everywhere he goes. But pretty much, but the funny thing is, like, every time I went to the venue, every single day, security would be right there. You have to go through the security, you know, metal detectors, all that other stuff. This guy was out there dapping up the security
people. I knew it. He was dapping up security guards.
and the PR people as well, because the PR people are sitting behind the desk welcoming everybody, and he was all shaking hands with everybody. So, this guy is very entertaining. I was very entertained by that.
Real quick, not to derail things, and Manny, you've spoken about this, but, like, if Hip Hop Gamer helped you get not a foot, like your body in the industry, you know, so shout out to him, man. He really helped change your life, you know. Manny, you're muted.
Uh-oh.
The one thing about Hip Hop Gamer, unlike I would say a lot of people in the industry, not present company excluded, and a few other people, but he is a type of person that he's not looking to uplift himself just based off of you. You know, yeah, in other words, exactly. It's not what can you do for me, like a lot of these people tend to be.
Mm-hmm.
Hip hop, when because here's the thing, like we known hip hop for so long, just seeing him at E3, and for all those years, he actually never knew that I did artwork for a living.
Yeah,
until we got to talking into 2019, and this dude, as soon as he found, because he saw me doing Contra and all that stuff, this dude, as soon as I'm there, he's calling up his beat buddies for spreading my name around, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's the person that doesn't seem to forget you. And also, I was about to say that during the pandemic, he wasn't one of those people that like literally did a whole stupid Twitter post, because my mom passed away. No, what he did was he contacted me personally and he talked to me, him and Reddit.
Yeah,
so,
man.
And they helped me get the job with Decoy Games doing Swim Sanity. So, he's the type of guy that doesn't forget you.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring that up because hip hop, he may be kind of wild and flamboyant, but he's the real dude, man. He will look out for his people,
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, by the way, real quick, shout out to Chris. He showed up under the cover of night. Hello, Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Hey.
And Brett just showed up as well, man.
I snuck in the door behind Chris.
I like that. So, yeah, we got the full house here. Awesome. All right, Rich, continue. Hip Hop Gamer dapping everybody as always.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Shout outs to him for sure. So, pretty much, that was how my Thursday wrapped up. On Friday, I had a few different appointments. I did get to play the Cyberpunk expansion.
Ooh.
That was awesome, but way too short because my, obviously the appointment time is only for like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
You don't really get to scratch the surface of that game in that amount of time. But I was very impressed with that game. Right after I played that, I say, I think that they definitely have rebounded now because there's a lot to look forward to in that upcoming expansion. They did mention that this is, I guess, the final expansion. Because I guess after this, they're working on whatever the next project is, whether it's The Witcher or what have you. But that was a lot of fun. I did enjoy that.
Does it change the base game? I had heard somebody just in passing basically mention that like it had kind of secretly either rebooted or refurbished a bunch of systems or anything like that. Is there any truth to that, or they were just talking shit?
No, it does continue after the main campaign. The story takes place afterwards. They made changes to some stuff, but I have to admit that when the base game came out, because I actually was planning to review it, I could not play it because it was so many issues with it because it wasn't working properly on next gen. So I've only recently gone back to it right before I, knew that I was going to have this appointment. I didn't get into any of the stuff that significantly changed. What I can say is that they did add a lot more of the vehicular combat in the game because there's a new car that I was able to use. I was able to use that car and shoot up a whole bunch of stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Do you need to have completed the campaign to play it? Or is there like, oh, you get this and you'll get this level 30, whatever character to play the
DLC? Oh, no. You can definitely play it without completing the main game, at least from what I understand.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is it a standalone or do you need to have the main game installed? Like, how does this work?
I believe you do need to have the main game installed because
they're calling it DLC for it. That's it. So
yeah, but I ask because the game it's only current gen. It's not last gen,
Like, yes, yeah, exactly.
So that's what I was wondering. Okay, go ahead.
So you do have an option of they are obviously encouraging everybody to play the the original base game, but yeah, if you're jumping into the first time, you could totally just do that with this expansion.
Cool.
Because it is next gen only. So
yeah, and but, is it true that it takes place in a different city?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I believe it's called Dogtown. This is a different district within. Just to give a quick summary of what it is.
Yeah.
It's more of like a spy thriller storyline because you basically have to rescue the president of the United States And when you do that, then you're trying to uncover who was the one that, that actually did a hit on her.
Is it like Escape from New York?
Yeah, yeah. The enemies are a lot tougher in Dogtown. That's that that is that was so there's a lot, but they, but again, and then at the end of the towards the end of the demo, that's when you actually
okay.
But again, I didn't really get a chance to dive too deep into it because it was only a short period of time to play for the hands-on impressions. But the game looks fantastic. Something I'm looking forward to in September.
Dope.
So look for that. I also got a chance to check out a game that I know that Tony Polanco did say he's very interested in hearing feedback on. It's a game called Foam Stars.
Yes. Yeah, I actually was curious about this because the reason I bring this up is because I saw a lot of people. Because remember, it was premiered or whatever during the PlayStation Showcase. We were all like, what the fuck is this Splatoon bullshit? But then on Twitter, I saw a lot of cats were like, yo, this game is legit. I'm like, are they trolling right now? Since they're offhand, you know, April Fool's joke, what's going on? So, yes, Rich, I definitely want to hear your take on this controversial game.
So I did see a lot of people saying that it was very positive. You know, there's a couple of popular YouTubers were in my same session when we were playing the game. I will say this. I think the game is okay. I don't think it's revolutionary, obviously. It's just like Splatoon. Obviously, the difference is that you're using the foam, but the way they design it is the characters have a lot of guns, but even those guns, they're just shooting out foam. Like, you have a character that has a shotgun, shoots out foam. And pretty much what it is it's the game. They only had one game mode that we were able to play, which is like a 5-on-5 competitive matchup, where basically you have to foam up and eliminate the other people on the other team until there is a winner. And you have like you have several number lives until it gets down to the very end. And then, if you do get foamed up this time, then it's game over. The game is all right. But the thing I have to say is, again, I could kind of see it's still in the early stages. It does take place in this casino stylized city. And as soon as I saw that, I said, okay, well, this must be where the microtransactions will come into play. Because even though they didn't talk about that stuff in the preview, I saw that immediately. It's very apparent. They make it very clear to you this is a casino-type city. By the way, this city is designed, even the way that the actual place that you're playing in is actually designed too. So obviously, I don't know what to expect. But I will say it is something different. I guess you could say that. Depending on if you want to play something different. I don't personally think the game is for me. But again, they got to show a hell of a lot more than what they did show. That's why I was so surprised when I saw previews coming out talking about it's amazing, it's game of the year. Bro, they only show one mode. How the hell can you come to that conclusion that it's game of the year? That doesn't make any kind of sense.
That's stupid, yeah.
Yeah. But that was really the only game. Like, you know, they had a couple of mobile games Square Enix did at their particular booth. They didn't have anything else that stood out outside of that. But pretty much, like I said, I had a couple of appointments that day. That was Friday. Now, obviously, no, that was Saturday, rather. Now, the next day, this is the day you want to hear about. The Xbox Showcase event.
Ooh, let's go.
I went to that Xbox Showcase event. Obviously, you know, I had to get there a little bit earlier. And of course, what I did learn from last year is if you are media, if you do get invited, you actually go all the way to the top of the building, the balcony. They have like a whole area for you. So you have an option of either watching the show outside on the balcony where they have a whole bunch of screens, or you can go into the theater. So I went into the theater, obviously, because it is a fan fest event, you know, that they have for people that. So they did have a crowd in there. Obviously, I think the Xbox Showcase was good. There's a couple of issues I had with some things they showed in that showcase, but overall, I thought it was an excellent showcase. One thing I do want to say, though, whoever decided to put that Hellblade trailer in there, the audience reacted to that, because one thing I noticed when I was in there, everybody obviously, you know, it's a fan fest event, right? You're expecting the fans to cheer for everything that they saw, okay? Obviously, they saw Fable, the crowd went wild. They saw different games. They saw that Star Wars game. The crowd went wild. When it got to Hellblade 2, though, it started out where everybody was like, when they saw that sign that said Ninja Theory, oh, they was very excited. Then when they actually saw the trailer, there was like, that was probably the one trailer where afterwards you could hear a pin drop in there. It wasn't much clapping compared to everything else that we saw prior to that and after that. So that tells me, again, and I even question when I saw that trailer, it's like I'm asking myself if this is Microsoft's attempt to sell somebody on the game for the very first time. I don't think they did a very good job with that trailer. There wasn't no damn action in it. It's just about the story elements with the character, which is okay, but that's not a trailer that you should put in a showcase if you're trying to sell someone on the game for the very first time.
Damn.
That's just my opinion. But after the event, you know, because you all saw the stream. I saw that y'all had a reaction to it. But after the event was over, this is what people may not know. So when everything ended, because, you know, the stream, everything is pre-recorded. But after it was over, we had Phil Spencer came out on stage, Matt Booty, Sarah Bond, Pete Hines, and I think it's, Todd Howard. They came out on stage to thank the fans for attending. They all had said their little thing. But what one thing I did hear, you know, that
they didn't was very pull interesting. An opener and say, look under your chair, you all got a Series X. They didn't do that.
Oh, no. They didn't go into that. They didn't go into that detail. But one thing that Matt Booty said that was very interesting is he did say, we very much look forward to you playing this incredible lineup of games within the next 18 months to 2 years. Hmm. Now, if you go back to the show, you saw there were some games didn't have any type of release date. Okay. And then there were some that did say 2024. So I think that was said as a safety net. So what I'm basically telling you right now is if some of those games that they announced for 2024, they definitely can get pushed out further because if it said 2024, but it's not a specific date, that means it definitely can change. But I find it interesting how he mentioned that, you know, to us after the show. But another thing I also want to bring up is Starfield, right? Starfield looks amazing, right? The question I have for Microsoft is, why wasn't that 30 frames per second thing said in the actual show, in the actual showcase? I don't really care too much about it, but I think when you don't say this stuff in the actual show itself, it's going to give people a bad impression because they're like, oh, this is why they're having a debate right now about it. But I don't give a damn. I was impressed with what I saw. I'm going to get the game. I just I had that as a general question because that was definitely a discussion afterwards. I'll say what?
I have a theory about that.
Go ahead.
I honestly think it was that they never said that there was like through most of development. I thought they'd made it pretty clear that this thing was going to be 30 frames per second. And so like I kind of view this as like, why would I, as a producer of something, go out of my way to state something that looks bad on me that I never promised to begin with? And like, I think that was probably the angle that they were taking. And like, it just the rest of the industry kind of brought the question up. It made it a necessary question. But like, I could have told you, I have been saying for months and months and months, like, this thing's going to be 30 frames per second, man.
It makes sense because there's two points of view perspectives. You have the third person and the first person. So if they want a smooth experience for both, lock it down. And I'm sure probably could do a little higher, but it wouldn't be consistent when you're switching between views. So
yeah, but the thing is, people need to be explicitly told this stuff. That's the problem, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, they like, to me, like when they say, like, you know, is this thing going to be 60 frames? This isn't going to be high fidelity. And they say, our games are about making as deep and immersive experience as possible. And we are not willing to cut out any systems or make any shortcuts in order to hit those fidelity landmarks. So no, we're focusing more on depth of gameplay and that it'll be stable, but that if they have the choice between fidelity or systems, that they're going to choose systems every time.
Yeah, like, no, I
sounds very wordy for a presentation.
The thing is, they said that after the fact. What I'm trying to say, Brett, is I'm not saying they should have said 30 frames a second. I'm saying people should not have assumed that because most people need to be told.
Well, they said the thing that I said.
Yeah.
They said that well ahead of this showcase.
But here's the thing. Like Adam said, that's too wordy. You need for people. They need to be told 30 frames a second, 60 frames. They don't care about all the other stuff.
That's
the problem, you know?
I feel like, and I realize it's too wordy of an answer, and I realize it's a bit of a corporate answer, but people go like, is this game 60 frames per second? I feel like the right answer is still like, no, we focused on this other stuff. And I can see why people would want to be told like, yeah, no, it's 30 frames per second. But like, you're just asking, like, that just, that sounds like an unrealistic ask, right? Like, hey,
oh, no, I agree with you.
It's just, it makes you sound terrible.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you. It's just people need to be told this stuff explicitly. That's the problem now, you know?
Yeah, but then that's all that they hear.
Yeah. No, well, you're right, because a week later, that's all anyone's still talking about. When it comes to this game, even though, again, I love the fact that we are recorded here on Throwdown. I told you guys from the jump, the only reason you're getting 60 frames a second games is because they're last gen games. The instant we start getting current gen games only, they're going to go right back to 30. And we're already seeing that. Gotham Knights, Redfall, Starfield, it's already happening, people. And I know people are going to go, oh, what about Insomniac? The exception to the rule is not the rule. Okay, so keep that in mind.
It's the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there a AAA first-person shooter that's not close to 60 frames per second?
No, and Redfall, yeah, and Redfall has no excuse to not be motherfucking 60 frames. That's a shooter. But the point still stands. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys should... I was thinking about this week. I even had a conversation with this in the office. Like, it kind of seems to me like... It was kind of cruel to give people 60 frames a second games knowing they were going to pull that rug out from under them eventually. You know what I'm saying? Like, this generation took so long to finally get started, you know, because we were just playing all these last gen games and people were just used to 60 frames, right? And me knowing, oh, that shit's going to, they're going to pull that shit right from under you, and it's already happening, you know? So it's like kind of fucked up that it's like you gave them this, but you're going to take them right away, you know? Anyway, go on, Rich. Starfield, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, pretty much that was the end of the Microsoft event. Then I went to a Final Fantasy 16 launch event.
Oh, very interesting.
And, yes, that was quite an experience. You know, got a chance to see the cast. I also learned just, you know, as far as the gaming industry is concerned, how they are moving more towards the content creators as also helping to put together these shows, because they had two different segments. They talked about combat, where they had the combat director, and then they also had YouTuber Maximilian Dude. He basically was up there talking with them about it. And then when they did a narrative panel with the narrative person behind Final Fantasy 16, they had Alana Pierce up there because, you know, she helped out on the God of War. So that was very interesting to see that. But overall, that was a great event. You know, and then that was when they announced that there's going to be a demo coming out shortly thereafter. That everybody knew about that news. I think the biggest takeaway that I had from that event also is when they confirmed, they pretty much said that Platinum Games helped out on the game, as well as the team behind Kingdom Hearts. Now, they wouldn't specify and say exactly what parts of the game they worked on, because it's still under an embargo. And I guess they did say once the game is released, they'll confirm that information. But everybody was very excited to hear that, because that was not an announcement that they was expecting to hear, especially with Platinum Games. Because they helped out with the combat, I guess. But we'll see. So finally, that concluded Sunday. And then Monday, which is the day that I left, I actually went to the Ubisoft Forward. And that was quite a show. I know we're going to talk about that here soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good experience. Right after that, I got a chance to play the Prince of Persia game. By the way, that game runs 60 frames per second on everything.
Even on
because Switch. I also played it on Switch.
Did they explain when they first said it's a side-scroller, but then they said it's a side-scroller open world? How does that work?
I didn't get a sense of it being open world, because even in that demo,
how's it gonna be open world?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't understand why they said that. It's like, it makes no damn sense. I was like, how is this?
It is a side scroller where you can go into different places on, you know, in different areas of the actual where you're actually at. But even in the demo, some of those places they had blocked off where I couldn't go in a certain direction. But obviously that would change, they said, in the final release.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be some kind of Metroidvania type of deal, you know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The game is a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that game.
So after
the demo specifically, I was like, this is pretty solid.
To me, that was the biggest surprise out of all of it. Because remember, that was in development hell. And we had heard that nothing was happening, that they scrapped it again.
No, that's not that one.
That's not the same one. Oh, that's a different one.
Okay. Yeah, that's a different one.
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right.
This is a new one. This is a new one specifically. They made that clear in the presentation and then when I actually went to the appointment. And I did see, of course, Assassin's Creed, a couple of different things they showed in that video about some of the stuff they added to the game. It's still more or less the same stuff that was seen in the video that everybody saw. They just basically talked about more things with the Nexus. And I will say that Assassin's Creed Nexus with VR, that actually, obviously, that video is not the finished rendered gameplay, you know, but I'd be very curious to see what it looks like, what it's actually going to look like, because it is a good concept. I just want to see how it actually works. But overall, in a nutshell, I would say that the experience was great. Now, I want to say the two main takeaways that I do have to say is that this event is going to continue to grow. It already felt like this year compared to last year, there was a hell of a lot more people there. And you felt in some of those spaces, it got very crowded very quickly. So I think that Jeff Keighley eventually is going to have to expand this and go to a different venue other than where he goes to right now. I like how they were very accommodating of anybody that was there as a guest. You didn't have to worry about spending money on anything because they had food trucks. If you got hungry, they had drinks, they had bars, all this other stuff. So all that was cool. One thing I will say, though, and this is the final takeaway, is that compared to E3, it is missing, I would say, what I enjoyed about E3 was obviously seeing all of our peers there. And being able to talk with them about games and stuff like that. So it did not feel the same. I mean, obviously, I saw Danny. I saw Paris. I saw Hip Hop. I didn't see you there, Tony. I didn't see any of you guys there. So it didn't feel the same.
Yeah, man. No Yard House, you know, at the end of the week, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I did go by the convention center. I did, because where I was at with my hotel, I was like right downtown. So I did see the convention center looked very pitiful with nothing up there, you know?
Yeah. All the banners and all your thing. Yeah, that's right. And even the big posters on the adjacent hotels and shit, none of that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was no advertising anywhere. So it definitely felt bare. You felt like it was missing. But I will say that Jeff Keighley definitely is onto something, because even last year when I went to that event, the only major game they had last year was Street Fighter VI, and that was just like you playing a demo build. This year, you had Alan Wake 2, you had Remnant 2, they had a hell of a lot more games. They had Mortal Kombat there, so obviously it's growing, so I'm very curious to see what happens next year. But I do have to give him props that he's doing a very good job with these shows. I just want to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I think, you know, from what I saw, like, as an outsider now, you know, because I am now in a different industry. You know, by the way, real quick, I just find it funny how for years, right, you know, when I was attending E3 and all that, I would always, like, look at Twitter and see people talking about Apple, because Apple always had their events during E3. I'm like, look at these dumbasses covering Apple. I'm over here having fun at E3. Now I'm the fucking idiot covering Apple while everybody's having fun at non-E3, you know? Pretty interesting. But, no, some of the pictures I saw, you know, Rich, I saw cats at the JW, you know, where one of our frequent hangouts. I'm like, damn. And then I even saw like a nice shot of somebody, you know, like a table of like 20 people at the Yard House. I'm like, man, that was us, you know.
Yep.
So I definitely miss those days. But, you know, I'm no longer in that industry, unfortunately. And I definitely will not be able to go, because like, Tony, you got to cover Apple. It's like, oh, damn, you know. But it was cool to see, you know, everybody out there having fun. And if this does replace E3, that's a good thing. You know, I'm pretty sure Jeff Keighley is treating the companies better than, you know, the ESA does, you know. I'm glad you had fun out there, man. And I'm pretty sure you'll be back next year, and it'll probably be even better than this year.
But it sounds like he's he's treating them like he's there to help, as opposed to either it was more like, you guys have to bend the knee to us, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. One quick thing I did want to say. I mean, I agree with everything you said, Tony. The one other point that I will mention is that I spoke to a lot of people there, some PR people we know. And I saw Tara Bruno, who we both know, a lot of different PR people we know. everybody said this is a lot more relaxed event compared to E3, yeah, where it's very stressful. And they are 100% correct about that. Obviously, if you're covering the event, though, I mean, you have a lot of embargoes. There was a lot of situations where I would be playing a game and I'll be told, oh, yeah, this embargo ends on Monday, you know, or so on and yeah, so forth. So that situation stuff is still there. But overall, it is definitely a lot less stressful than E3. You don't have to worry about a crowded convention center. You're able to make appointments as you would at E3, and then it's just a lot more chill, relaxed environment. So, yeah, and Jeff Keighley already announced, yeah, they are doing it again next year. They just don't have the dates yet, but they did say 2024 it's coming back. Yeah. So,
oh, that was the other thing I wanted to ask you, because, you know, some of the other people I talked to felt that the place where Jeff Keighley had the event was like, it was too small for what it had, but at the same time, they also felt like you can't have it at the convention center because it would be too big. So what's your take on that?
I think that they are correct. It is too small. I mean, they made it work this year because they, like I said, they had a map system where they laid everything out, so you knew exactly where each appointment was going to be at. Like Warner Brothers would have their own section, so on and so forth. But it definitely, you know, my personal opinion, and I hope nobody gets offended when I say this.
I'm offended.
Los Angeles.
How dare
downtown,
you?
Okay. All right. Now. Downtown Los Angeles, I have to say this. I'm going to apologize, Tony, because it might be a swear.
Uh-oh.
The place is a shithole, okay? When I, because the thing is, where my hotel is at, that's great, right? But where the actual venue is at, the street right next to that venue as you're walking towards the place. Now, I saw this when I went to get my badge the first day, and I didn't go back down it after that. But the street right next to it is like a little mini Skid Row. Because you see nothing but tents, people out there, you know, and yeah, it's very sad to see that stuff. But I also think, you know, I kind of feel like there has to be a better place that he could have that show in Los Angeles. Yes, the convention center is probably too big. All right. So that we can agree on that. But there has to be some other venue he can have, some area he can have to put this stuff at. But
yeah,
overall.
Bad.
No. But I mean, overall, that was the only criticism I had of where it's actually at. I mean, it is in walkable distance to where my hotel was at. So I pretty much did that on a consistent basis. I didn't take no Ubers. Only time I took an Uber was when I was going to the airport. But everything was in close proximity. So I liked the location of where I was at as far as the hotel is concerned. But yeah, where the venue was at, the area around there, it's, you know, and there's a lot of shops and stuff. Just like if you go in New York, you have all those different shops on the street. People are selling different merchandise and stuff like that. That's over there. That was fine. But that one street that had all them tents,
yeah, man,
that was just a very glaring thing to see. It's a little disturbing.
Yeah, not to derail the conversation, but yeah, that when you see that shit in real life, man, it's crazy. I remember the first time I saw that, it was, you know, during one of it was an E3. We went to dinner with one of Manny's artist friends who lived in L.A., you know, and we just walked to the place and you saw this fucking block filled with like these homeless like tents, you know, bums everywhere, shit everywhere. Fucking disgusting, man. And I already had a negative view of LA. I do not, you know, Rich, I'll be very blunt about it. LA does indeed fucking suck. It's horrible. And I'm saying this as a New Yorker. That place is filthy, you know?
Yes.
It is just, you feel that shit in your fucking skin at the end of the day, like, well, that. Yeah, I remember the first year we went there with Chris. Chris like, oh shit, look at the morning haze. I'm like, yeah, that's not natural. That's the fucking fog, bro. Like, that's not mist, you know.
It's the homeless's mecca. Like, yeah, that's where they go. And then they've done it. They've done the stories and they've talked to these people that are there. And they've come from all over the United States. And it makes sense. They go up there because it's warm. They don't have to worry about snow and freezing under a bridge or anything. But where do you go once you're there?
Yeah.
Bro, they don't even go out there. They get put on buses from other states.
Well, I
remember the last E3 I went to, me and Manny, we were in a very shady spot in fucking LA, right? So, but we were taking the train in, right? The train had no bums in it at all. The opposite of New York. Why would you be underground when you could just be up top where it's nice, you know? LA train system way fucking cleaner than New York. I'll give them that. I'll give you that, LA. It's a lot cleaner, and every station has elevators. Shout out to you for that, but it's a shit show, man. I hate that fucking city. I remember the first time I went there, I had a horrible fucking time in that city, you know? And I was like, yo, am I one of these cats that just hates other cities other than New York? Nope. Went to Boston. That shit was dope. Anaheim was dope. Seattle was fucking dope. No, it's just LA. LA sucks. What a horrible fucking city that is.
The thing about LA is it's really like 10 cities in one.
Yeah, it's everything's just spread out and shit. Like, what are we doing here, man?
LA is a hubris to man, or a monument to man's hubris. Like, the fact that you guys are calling it a place, I'm somehow feeling is like being overly generous. Like, that is the LA. I'm sorry for y'all that live out there, but like, that place is fucking unnatural. It shouldn't exist. Everything. It's like Las Vegas, right? Like, everything about this screams, "What the fuck were you people thinking?" When you build it, but here's the thing: nobody was thinking. LA wasn't built; it just kind of fucking happened.
Yeah, as you can say about a lot of those cities. But by the way, Brett, Las Vegas was fucking dope too. I like that place. LA,
no, Las one, Vegas yeah. is fucking dope. But yeah. You look around, you're like, this city shouldn't exist.
Oh no, because it shouldn't.
Spit in the face. Like, if there were a god, y'all be spitting in his face right now.
Yeah, but yeah, LA terrible. That if you know. If you want to find hell on earth, or at least in America, go to LA or San Francisco. Ooh, San Francisco after 7 p.m. You know, oh, man.
San Diego's nice, though. San Diego's real nice.
Go to San Diego for nice. But LA, San Francisco,
San Diego is one of my favorite cities. Man. Beautiful.
Rich, you already know about San Francisco, and Manny, you do too.
Yep.
You know, that place is fucked up. You know?
You're rich. Horrible.
Yo, Rich, I have a question.
People think that New York is bad.
No,
just
no.
Just go to California.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, anyway, go on, Rich. Or Carlos, I guess you have a question.
Yeah, Carlos.
Yeah.
So, Richard, so I know you enjoyed your time there, but would you say, you know, whatever happened this year, and let's just say they repeat it, would it be worth it to keep going every year just for the same experience? Or do you feel like... this is something that's, they're building upon this. This is, you know, this is the rising within the ashes of E3, and it's going to get better each year and stuff like that. What's your feelings on that?
Yes, they're definitely building upon this, because compared to last year, they put a lot more effort. Like, they did listen to the feedback from last year, so they put a lot more effort into making it very clear where everything was at. They made sure that they had everything that you could need, whereas once you got into the event, you didn't necessarily need to leave until it was over. So I have to give them credit on that. But I kind of feel like, yeah, they will have to continue to build upon this from here on out. I don't think it's going to be entirely the same next year. It really depends on them having to change the venue, because at some point, like I said, there was a lot of people in there, and depending on when you got there, like if I got there early in the morning, it wasn't as crowded, but definitely as towards the end of the day of each day, when everybody is done with their demos and they're just walking around talking with each other, it's too many people in a small space. So hopefully they are going to eventually find another venue, but I can definitely see the potential of this being something that replaces E3. If E3 actually comes back next year, because I understand that, Carlos, you actually want E3 to return next year. So
you've been reading around the wrong streets, man. Probably that Skid Row place.
You know.
Yeah, I just find it interesting, like how the experience is, and we appreciate Rich going over all this, because like I haven't heard that many stories of, you know, what it was like to be there. So. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not. It doesn't have all the magic of E3. You know, you don't have all the presentations we used to have where we would go to the Sony conference. Yeah, Xbox was there. That was great. Ubisoft. Yeah, I was there for that. That was great. But those were the only two conferences that I was there, because I missed the Summer Games Fest show on Thursday. So, but yeah, it just doesn't feel quite the same. But it doesn't feel bad. It's just a different type of feeling.
Some of us over here will tell you that you didn't miss much.
No, but I mean, you went hands on with a bunch of games, so that's good. You know, you got to see some people you probably haven't seen in a while because of the fucking lockdowns. You know,
that was the first thing. Yes, I mean, I've seen people that I haven't seen since before the pandemic, because it was like it felt like it was one of the first events that everybody was out there this time around, felt a little bit more comfortable. They didn't have no mask on. Well, there was some people that had on masks, but for the most part, everybody was comfortable just going out there and being out there talking among each other. So,
yeah, that's good.
It was a good time. Definitely an improvement over last year. There was a lot more to play compared to last year when they only had that major Street Fighter. That was their major game, but they had a lot more this year. So yeah. I have to give them credit for that.
And I imagine if these games come out 2024, as expected, next year it's going to be even better there. There's going to be a lot more shit to play.
Oh, yes.
We'll see.
Yeah, if, like I said, Adam.
Hey, listen, I do want to say this, though. Xbox, if anyone from Xbox listens to this show, they damn sure need to have a presence at Summer Games Fest next year. I mean, it's ridiculous. A lot of third-party games were there, yes. That's fine, but I want to see Xbox have something at the show this time around. They had ID and Xbox stuff, but I'm talking like Forza. It would have been great if there was a Forza demo there because this game is coming out in October and it wasn't there. So, but hopefully that's something that they happen that does happen next year because, as I said, I did see Phil Spencer talking with Jeff Keighley on multiple occasions while he was there. Really? So hopefully that is what happens.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
Can't wait to play that one with my racing wheel. What?
Maybe Jeff and Philly are hammering out some details. You don't know.
No, we don't know. Yeah. Jeff, Uncle Phil might be gone by next week. Sure.
No, he's fine. He's totally fine.
Nah.
Yo, Rich, Hip Hop, they showed a video with Hip Hop when he saw Phil Spencer and Jeff Keighley. Did you see that in person?
I did see that. I did see that, and I did laugh at that. I saw Hip Hop was also in the montage that was in the extended Xbox showcase the other day. They had a quick image of him with his excited face. So I don't know how they get these shots, you know, because I don't see where the camera is at half the time.
They got those like triple thousand zooms, man. They're shooting across from the room. Don't do anything weird. This will get on the. Well, they got Hip Hop and what's his face from the PlayStation? Remember when they were bowing and it's in the sizzle video?
Yeah, him and Reggie.
Him and Reggie from that thing. Yeah, they got him. I don't remember any cameras facing at that direction, but somehow they got him.
Yeah, that was epic, man. Good stuff, man. Yeah. All right, Rich. Thanks for telling us these stories, man. So yeah, what we'll do now is we'll quickly go over what was announced at Ubisoft and Capcom. But we're not going to take super long like we usually do with these breakdowns. Let's keep it kind of pithy here. Rich, obviously, yeah, you know, feel free to chime in. So I'm going to just read this off of GameSpot. So here we have Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora. They announced that game, so I guess it's coming. Rich, were you able to see this game or anything about it over there?
I did not get a chance to see this game. They just had a video of it and pretty much the same trailer that they showed in the presentation. Okay. I will say that I'm glad to hear it's coming out in December, though, because I was curious when they was going to actually release this game, if it was coming out next year.
Yeah, and apparently James Cameron came out and made an appearance. I didn't see Ubisoft forward, so I don't know.
Yeah, he had edited pre-recorded video. You know, this time he didn't regale us with the world of Avatar.
Yeah,
you know,
like he did 10 years ago. Yeah,
he kept it short and sweet this time around.
Crazy. All right, X Defiant, a PvP shooter. I don't know, Rich. You know anything about that?
I'm gonna make a prediction. That's going to be Adam's next game because Division is not. I don't know what's happening with Division.
It's 2. It's done. Division.
Oh damn, Adam's saying that. Wow.
Yeah, this was like the worst. They said it was done. Just for the fact they didn't even mention the fucking Heartland, which is coming out in like 2 months. And they didn't show shit off of that. Forget about the mobile game. That's in development limbo also. So it's fucked up. And for them to even say, a few months ago that one of the pillars is the Division for the Ubisoft as a whole. And that's straight up bullshit. Because you're not even working on another one. You got your massive team doing Star Wars Outlaw bullshit. No one cares.
Man. So yeah, we'll see about this X-Defiant game.
They failed you, Adam. failed you.
They all failed me.
Failed everyone.
Fail everybody. Fucking failed.
There's a bait.
Where's Skull and Bones?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. I think they dug that back up again.
What are you talking about? They had a band playing Skull and Bones. That's it.
That's it. There you go.
They played the song Skull and Bones. You didn't know it was just a song.
Oh yeah. With no release date, but there is a beta coming.
Yeah, it's a beta. Yeah,
there is a beta coming. Yeah.
Yeah, there's also a beta for X Defiant on June 21st. So
nobody wants this.
Yeah. All right. Rich, you already told us about Lost Crown. It's dope. Let's get that.
Yeah, that's dope.
Oh, what is this? Oh, is this a mobile game? The Division Resurgence.
Yep.
That is the mobile game.
Oh
that's
no, we don't.
Nobody wants this.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Yeah, Skull and Bones. Here you go. While Skull and Bones is still far off,
and that was
game in 2017, man.
How far off at this point?
Yeah, I do. I remember that, and I remember that Gary actually wrote a preview for that game as well. So I
wrote a preview for that shit. You know, it's fucking crazy. The Crew Motor Fest. They bring the Crew back. Where's Brian? That was his game.
It's the Crew. It's the greatest game ever.
Ever. It's the third entry in the game. All right, so there you go. What the fuck is this? Captain Laserhawk, a Blood Dragon remix. Nandato?
It's an anime.
It's anime.
Oh,
anime,
Manny. Like
anime.
Yeah.
They had that Artie Shankar show up on there. He didn't have his crow makeup on this time around. And he just, he did the, what was it, he was an executive producer on Edge Runners, and I think he's part of the Castlevania thing. So, it is what it is.
Yeah. All right.
Anime.
Anime. Yeah, hard quotes right there. Anime, Assassin's Creed Nexus, we've heard. Oh, go ahead, Adam. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, it was like from that whole thing, because, I was traveling, but then a tweet popped up on my phone, and there's only a few people that I follow. And this is from one Cliffy B. And he was like, where's Gear 6? And he's right. Well, they didn't show shit. Nothing.
During the show? Adam's going to be pissed.
Yep, we said that.
We predicted it.
Yeah, we were like, if Adam was here, he'd be asking about Gear 6.
I don't want to change the subject, but I just want to say a quick comment related to that. I'm pretty sure you heard, Adam, that People Can Fly are now working on another project for Microsoft. Now, that better not be Gear 6, because Coalition is supposed to be working on Gear 6. Yeah, so I don't know what that is.
Right. Unless they're helping them with some stuff, but no, I don't see. Because they're all liars. They're all liars. Because remember, they showed off when they were showing the new Unreal Engine, and they were like, oh, look, they showed up Marcus Fenix and the new lighting system. We're doing this on a new engine, and so it's going to take a little longer, but this is what's going on. This is what we're doing. We're working closely with them with this engine, and that was a Coalition. So I don't see them just scrapping. And then, of course, was it you that said that whole thing about the story, that the dude that left said he wrote a story and he's not sure if they used it or not?
Yeah, Rod Ferguson said that he did
the story and he doesn't know. And it's like, see, that's more lies then. Either he's lying in the studio, because in that, when they showed off that, they're like, oh, yeah, we're done. But when we saw all the things this new engine can do, we're like, can we port this over? Well, we're going to need help. And Epic said that they would help us. So this is going to mean that we need more development time for porting this over. But until then, take a look at this. And they showed us all the stuff for marketing. Straight up lies. All of them are lying.
Well, one thing I will say is, if Rod Ferguson did write a story for 6, they probably should use that, because it was his idea to kill off one of those characters in 5.
Whoa.
So he probably had an idea of where it should what should happen next. So I hope they're going to at least use that as a reference if they're not going to use it out.
Well, that was the whole reason why he was brought back when they started everything, because they wanted somebody who was familiar with the story, the franchise, and then just to keep going with it. And he was there. He did 3 games. I guess 2 if you don't count the other one, but he put in his time. He did what he had to do. I mean, if anything, they should grab the people that are writing the books. There was 2 of them that I checked out that were pretty good a few years ago, but really good stories. Bring those people in.
Yeah. All right. Assassin's Creed Nexus. That's the big metaverse or whatever of the Assassin's Creed games.
VR.
Oh, it's VR. Oh,
yeah.
All right. Mirage, I guess that's coming out this year.
Yeah, October.
Yeah, October. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
That shit looks so old. When I saw that trailer, I'm like, am I watching? Is this Assassin's Creed 3? What the fuck? What
so, it this? Looks like a PlayStation, like a PlayStation yeah. 3 game almost. Like,
I've been there, done that. This, come on now.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Jade. That's another one.
That's the mobile
out.
Game.
That's the mobile game. Yeah, we don't care about that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
and then the big one here, Star Wars Outlaws. Rich, can you tell us anything about this? Did you see anything else that we haven't seen?
Oh, no, I didn't see. They didn't have anything else ready to show. Just the video that they showed in that presentation. And I do want to say this, though, because that obviously was Ubisoft's, okay, we got one more thing to show. But I kind of feel like the fact that it was announced at the Xbox showcase the day before, that kind of like, because I thought Ubisoft was going to have something else they were going to announce at their show. So I was a little disappointed that they didn't have anything else.
And because I told you because they didn't announce it. That's the worst kept secret. Everybody knew about this shit. They just didn't officially announce it. And I said, watch it be that lame shit. Watch it be that, oh, yeah, the surprise. It's a game that everybody else told you we were doing. But now we're going to tell you we're doing it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm interested to see where that game goes.
To the bargain bin.
Damn.
I'm so mad. This was the worst. Like, I was on my trip and I'm seeing these alerts on my phone. I felt like throwing my shit out the window. I was like, this is some garbage. All this shit was garbage. What a letdown.
Yeah, speaking about letdowns, let's talk about the Capcom showcase.
Whoa.
I heard people were not happy.
Final Fight.
One.
Yeah, where's the Final Fight, Tony? Right? That was what we were hearing. This Final Fight.
That shit wasn't coming.
You see? Look at that.
Yeah. All right. So again, go ahead, Chris.
I'm just going to say that showcase was a complete waste of time.
Oh, shit.
I, in the middle of it, when they, as I was working from home, and they showed Ghost Trick, and I'm like, am I smoking crack right now? I went out to my DS shelf and I pulled it off the, he said 30 years. I'm like, what are you talking about? I pulled it off the shelf and I'm looking at it. Like, it's the same fucking game. I showed it to Chris. I'm like, you mean this game?
Wow.
We already have this game. They wasted time on that. I was like, oh, this is going to suck then. We're wasting time with like Ghost
Trick. Does that game have a following? Is there like a diehard?
I forgot it existed. I literally went back on my game shelf and I'm like, wait, we own this.
Yeah, it came out in 2010. Like 20,
way back then.
That's crazy. All right, we'll get to that in a little bit. So, where am I? I don't know where I'm reading this from. Anyways, here are some games. Path of the Goddess. I'm just going to say that. I don't know.
That was also a waste of time because that was at Xbox Showcase.
Yes, right. Yeah,
they showed this shit again.
Yeah, that's stupid. That is a waste of time. Mega Man X Dive Offline. What the fuck is this?
It's a mobile.
It's a port. Isn't that the port? Yeah.
That was some mobile shit. That's not coming to console. It's coming to mobile and PC. That's it.
All right, Street Fighter VI, we already know.
Butter game.
Nice. Butter game, absolutely. Okay, VR mode, Resident Evil 4. Why? Do they already announce this? Who cares?
No.
They showed the same footage.
Yeah.
Wow. You need to do it more. It's more now.
Yeah.
They wasted time telling people to get a Capcom ID.
That's stupid.
I mean, how is that? How was this a showcase?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what was the space one?
Which one? Pragmata?
Oh, Pragmata, the second hit. Apology. That's what they should call it. Just rename that game the second apology.
It's literally a CG trailer, and then in it, the girl is writing an apology.
Wow.
It has this year crossed out, and it just has a question mark. So not even like pushing it to next year, pushing it to we don't know when it's
going to. So is it going into the same dimension as Deep Down?
Yes. Yeah, it fell in there. That was her apology.
Yeah.
She's sitting next to that knight in the cave.
Jesus. And Chris, like you said, Ghost Trick.
Why did they spend so much time on like Ghost Trick?
Yo, it's a neat game, but I was like, this already exists. And he acted like, oh, we haven't done this in 30 years. I'm like, no, you did this in 2010. It was on the DS. It's the same freaking game. And you're just porting the mobile one.
Yeah.
That's insane. All right. Apollo Justice Ace Attorney.
Another port.
Yeah, it's three Ace Attorney games in one. Yay.
Another port.
Yeah. the Exo Primal. Why are they hyping this fucking game?
Yo, somebody there loves that game.
That's out next month.
Yeah, that's why they're hyping the game, because it's coming out soon.
Yeah. Dragon's Dogma 2, did they show anything new that they didn't show at the Xbox showcase?
It looked like the same trailer to me.
It looked like the same.
This really is a waste of time, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, and all everybody was hanging on for was like, you're going to show Resident Evil 4 DLC, right? No.
You, no.
That was
you get VR instead.
I thought that because of the success they've had doing these remakes and all the stuff, that they were going to do that with some of the other ones, like bring another Lost Planet or just redo Lost Planet 1, which is great, to fix that one up, or fix up Dead Rising 1.
Or, you know, any of that would have been an actual news.
Or port EX Troopers, the actual Lost Planet that's actually good.
We didn't get anything.
We didn't get DLC news. We didn't get Monster Hunter news. We didn't get nothing.
Damn.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, literally it. I finished reading the list. Wow, that sounds horrible. Fuck that. All right. We'll move on here. A couple little bits. I found this hilarious. So Xbox, Microsoft, whatever, they said that Starfield has the fewest bugs of any Bethesda game ever.
Oh, good. Lovely.
Oh, well, they got to go with the joke, because that's always been the joke, right? That it's they're fun games, but they're buggy as hell.
So, yeah, there you go. Brett, you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
I want to meet the person who's like thinking this game is going to come out completely bug free. But like, I'm not saying it's coming out like Cyberpunk style, but like, who's the person who'd be like, oh, Microsoft bought him. Now's our chance for an entirely bug-free Bethesda game.
Some people have literally said that. They're like, oh, they better fix all the bugs now.
Right. As you're running your Windows update, you're saying that?
Bro, what is it like to live in that world?
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
It would be funny if it had the fewest bugs, but they're like game breaking. Like they're like the largest bugs ever seen in a game.
Well, that's why I'm like, all right, to the people who are buying a deluxe edition to like get in 5 days, like, don't get me wrong, I did that with Diablo, a very social game, right? But the people who are like, man, I can't wait to get into this Bethesda game 5 days early, I'm like, are you really sure about that? Because that feels like a monkey's paw wish.
Okay.
Yeah, I really wish I could play this without the day one patch.
That's wild. All right, so there's that. So Phil Spencer said that he doesn't believe there will be a mid-gen refresh for the Xbox, which I think is good. I don't think the PlayStation needs one either. I don't think we need them this generation, to be honest.
Sony's doing it, right?
Sony is apparently doing it. That's a rumor, say.
There's a rumor, and they need to make it smaller. That's what they need to do.
Okay.
Bro, we just need to make this a short generation, let's be honest.
Yeah. Cut the cord, right?
Dude, chip architecture is changing, and I don't want to say it's like completely refounded itself, but like we've made huge leaps in the last few years, and we're kind of set to make more huge leaps in the next few years. So I just feel like this particular generation was both off to a slow start and it's aging incredibly quickly.
Yeah, so what do you suggest they do then?
I mean, this doesn't need to be a 10-year life cycle. Like, I kind of feel like, because, like, you and I, Tony, have talked about, like, how Apple is, like, trying some different ways of making boards, and they're finding ways to do more with less. So I think this should be a 7-year generation, not a 10-year generation.
Here's the thing. Officially, the last two generations have been 7 years, right? But the thing is, the consoles haven't stopped being manufactured at the 7-year mark, so they actually have been 10 years. You're right about that. But so if this console generation is going to be 7 years, it really means 5 years then.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Like, why would I buy a mid-gen refresh? And I understand everybody's like, oh, the generation has to last so long, but like they're lasting so long that you're already assuming you're buying two consoles in the span of one console's lifetime, right? Like instead of a mid-gen refresh, How about just shorter gens, right?
Yeah, I would go back to 5 years, but the problem is this generation, it's just now getting started.
Yeah, nothing's pushing these consoles, so there's really no need.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, that's a bit of a catch-22 because, like, the only reason things aren't pushing the consoles is because the consoles are such a large portion of the market share that most games are developed for them. There's plenty of stuff already you can't really do on consoles. I mean, I'm pretty sure Starfield is by itself just pushing the limits. You know, that's why it can't be 60 FPS. That's why it has to be on PC.
We'll see how the modders.
I keep telling, man, like I keep telling console guys, like don't expect PC performance from a $500 console. Don't, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, let's just be honest here, right? When it comes to Xbox specifically, we had a certain somebody going that the Xbox Series X eats monsters. Okay, bro. You know? Okay. Out of here.
It's kind of like the Steam Deck. Like, when you say something is powerful, like, let's fucking put that shit in context. Because, you know, at one point, sure, they were pretty decently comparable, but I feel like the gulf between consoles and PCs is just, it's gotten so huge. And then before all you PC guys start patting yourself on the back, that's because you're spending five times as fucking much on a PC as you did, I guess, back in my day. I don't know, like used to be you didn't have to spend $4,000 to get a powerhouse PC. So you could
$4,000, that could be just a video card now.
Dude, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I used to be able to build an entire PC setup for like $1,200 that would just smoke any console for years and years to come, right? But like now it's come down to the price of a small car. And as much as I'd love to be able to do that, bro, I cannot afford that shit. Maybe it's just that I don't have this superfluous income. Maybe it's just that I don't care that much to invest that much into my hobby. Like, I feel like I already spent a lot of money on my hobby, man, but like I don't have that PC. So, I mean, I don't know. There's a huge difference between them, but also there's a huge price difference between them. That being said, like I said, I already feel like we need to probably just move on from this generation. Don't refresh it. Don't try and, like, kickstart it. Don't try and, like, just... Because you're already tied to your last generation. You've already made the fucking commitment, especially you, Microsoft, that, this thing is going to be in with that $300 piece of shit. And you've chained yourself to that thing. Just fucking move on. And like I hear it. Like here's the part where I'm torn. Like as a gamer, even almost my immediate knee jerk reaction is be like, "Fuck you! You haven't even given me the old console yet." But then the logical part of my brain overrides and be like, "Not that you would necessarily buy a mid gen refresh. What's the point of even selling one? Right? Here's a system that is better." But still going to play the same games as that worse system. Like, what the fuck is the point, man?
I bet that
that's literally my argument for this console generation.
That's my argument against
cross-gen games.
That's my point. That's why you need to make this a shorter generation. It's like, cool, the generation of inclusivity went like a fucking fart in the wind. How about we just make something so powerful and try and make exclusive games for it? Make it so awesome that people just want to come to that party. And I realize, like, that's kind of a reset to the way that things used to be. But I don't want another Xbox that's three times as powerful as the base model that plays the same fucking game. And if you're trying to already give me the idea, to sell me on the idea of buying another console, why the fuck would it be the same one?
I'm curious about the Series X, the black one. They said, it's got the 1 terabyte SSD.
Yeah.
I bet you it has more RAM inside.
I don't think so.
There we go. One hour and 23 minutes.
Have something.
No. And I'll tell you what, because they've done this before. They did this with the 360, and they did this with the Xbox One when they did the S version, and then that one was able to produce 4K, true 4K. And so they've always done little bumps, but they don't really point any attention to it because, like, it's not that big of a deal. It just looks cool. That's all. It's a little different. Bullshit. I bet you once people get hands on it and they tear it down, they're going to be like, shit, this does have more memory. This runs better than the other one. And this is to phase out that white one, which is having all these problems. It can't even run Baldur's Gate. And I feel like that's what this is for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one that was like, look, man, if somebody came out tomorrow, or not tomorrow, and say 2 years from now, right? They came out 2 years from now and they said, hey, we're done with this parody shit. We're leaving the old generation behind. We're making a next-gen console that is only going to play next-gen console games. And here's a solid lineup of 4 to 5 games that are going to be launching on this. I don't care who makes the fucking system. That's my primary console.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get that anymore.
You know,
because even when I got my PS5, it just felt like I just upgraded my PS4.
Because there haven't been exclusive games.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the thing. We can have backwards compatibility, but this forward compatibility shit, it's got to go.
I agree.
Right? Like,
I've been saying that since before this generation even started, you know?
Yeah, I know. And a lot of us have. I think Microsoft might be able to get away with by bridging that gap with streaming. But we need to move on.
Yeah. I agree with that. Go ahead, Carlos.
I mean, y'all know my thoughts. I've been the preacher man on this shit. It's like, oh, well, you know what's so cool about the Xbox Series S and Series X is it's gonna be, you know, the games that are coming out for that are also gonna come out on the Xbox One. And people are like, yes, Queen. Like all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you fucking serious? That's not good news.
It's like PC, just upscale it. You just flick a button. It's the same thing. It'll be okay.
Scale it up.
It's going to scale it up. You're not going to hold game development back. It's okay. You know, meanwhile, look what's happened. You know, we've been telling you this shit for 3 fucking years, you know, and it's happening now. Motherfuckers don't listen, man. I swear.
Meanwhile, games are definitely still bottlenecked to the processing PowerPoint. Like, I want to share that, like, you know the reason there's a build limit on your settlements in Fallout? It's because that's what your fucking console can handle. It's because the processing power on consoles still is underpowered. And it does affect, like, everybody thinks, oh, it doesn't affect gameplay, right? But it does. It affects not just the gameplay, but the kind of games that you have. We can only have a certain size Minecraft world on consoles because of that bottleneck. Like, it's a real thing, and I think people don't think about that.
They don't. Like, again, they expect a $500 console to perform as well as a $3,000 PC. That makes no fucking sense. But
it's just that the skeleton is based off of the old hardware. It's like if you base a skeleton of a fucking saber tooth on a fucking cat, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Like that's just how it is. There's a reference point of the lowest common denominator, and they build upon that, and then they can scale up the graphics up so they can get 4K or 2K or 60 frames per second or 20 frames per second. But if that's doing it from the bottom up, when you only have one console, you get to explore everything. The rubric is changed, and the medium in which you start designing your game is completely different. So you don't have to do these, oh, you know, let's develop God of War Ragnarok so you can go through all these crevices every fucking second, or this in between world so it can work as a loading screen. When in reality the PS5 doesn't need any of that, but it's there because it the old console needs it.
Yep. Yeah, this generation's a fucking whack, man. Disappointing. I'm glad we're finally getting games, but look how long it took, you know? Fucking bullshit.
I mean, even that, like, we're starting to get games.
Yeah, we are, yeah, but it's like, look how long it took, you know?
Bro, I'm gonna make some people unhappy and say, like, we got games. I don't think a shitload of them are Sony. Like, I think there's a lot of third-party games coming out. There's a few things that are coming from Microsoft, but, like, I'm afraid we're heading into a Sony drought. I think that they bet the farm on live service games, and there's not that much in the pipeline right now. And it's not a good feeling, man.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good point. It's like after Spider-Man, what's coming out?
Wolverine.
Well, that's one. Yeah, we got Wolverine coming.
But that's the thing. It's like the year is halfway done, and Spider-Man is the only thing that we have.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Was Gran Turismo this year?
Gran Turismo, is that coming? Or is that fucking movie coming, you know?
I don't know. Yeah.
Hold on. I have to stop you there, Carlos. Yeah, Gran Turismo is the most anticipated Sony exclusive movie coming out this year, right?
Great. Did you watch that trailer? Did you like really
we see, were
like,
to see that? We were forced to see that shit during the PlayStation showcase, man.
But I wonder, a lot of people seem to have not paid attention. They're like, what is this about? Why would they even bother showing? It's like, he is the gamer. It's they're taking a gamer who plays Gran Turismo and putting him in a real car in a real race.
It's a waste of time.
It's not like
I'd rather watch Fear the Walking Dead.
But this is what I'm saying. Is it who is going to watch this? Clearly, they think there's a market, and they go through their numbers. A lot of people do buy Gran Turismo, so they're like, if this amount of people care this much about the game, they will care to see this movie.
I don't think they understand what makes people care about the game.
They don't. It's just like, hey, people like Gran Turismo. Slap that on a movie, you know?
It's kind of like, and like, yeah, I agree that there's a lot of marketing and money that goes into this, but also at the same time, there's like, some people were like, you know what people really want to see in a Halo show? Master Chief take his mask off. Like, what, you guys really just have no idea.
You fucking idiots. All right, let's move on here. Okay, the story that never ends, man. The Microsoft Activision drama bullshit. Adam, what's going on with this now, man?
This is it. It's coming to an end.
Is it really?
This is it. So what happened recently is that there was a leak, I'll throw the quotes up there, that going around that Microsoft was going to close the deal on Friday, tomorrow, right? And that came out, I want to say last Friday or even Saturday. I remember seeing some messages and people say, hey, this is it. They're going to close. It's like, we'll see what happens. Well, the FTC believed it. And so then they filed for an injunction with a judge saying, hey, no, we got to stop them. They're going to try to close this deal. And we didn't even do our court case and all this stuff. And so they got their case bumped up to get heard in front of a judge. And that is going to happen on the 20th. So then by the 26th, then we'll get the ruling. But the 20th is when everything goes through. And a lot of people feel that this was done intentionally because FTC has been dragging this out. The whole reason why this is being dragged is because, remember, they just didn't want to hear Microsoft. They're like, we're saying no to this deal, not happening. And there was no court date, and it was getting pushed, and it was pushed. Well, once they heard this, they're going to try to close now without us going to court. Then they get rushed. So now it's actually going to go to court in front of a judge next week. So this is great. This is what Microsoft wants because they can then present their argument because the argument is that FTC has is still that Microsoft is going to keep everything tied to the Xbox platform. That is the court documents, because that's why they flat out said no. They haven't heard what we already in the outside of the bubble know about the 10 years with Nintendo, 10 years here, blah, 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 blah. That's none of that's been in the documents. None of that has been heard in a court. So as soon as they get to Microsoft, actually get to present all this information, all this proof, that this is their real goal is just to make a lot of money, put it on every platform available. Everyone and legal experts are like, this is it. How can you argue when this is not a front runner? It would be different if it was a front runner. It's not. They're in third place in this market. And even if this deal goes through, they will still be in third place. They'll have some good IPs, Call of Duty Diablo, but it's not going to propel them past Sony. It's just not going to happen. So with all that, this great. So the whole point is now everything gets pushed up faster, as opposed to there was really no date. Maybe it was August or whatever. FTC was dragging their feet with it. But as soon as they heard that Microsoft wants to close, they're like, no, we can't have this. And they filed that emergency injunction with the judge. And then the judge was like, all right, fine. All right, we'll do this. But you got to have all your shit ready for next week. That's it. So then we'll find out by the end of this month if they get the deal or not. If they don't, I think this will be it. I think we'll see within a year Microsoft puts it up for sale. Maybe Amazon or Apple buys the Xbox brand, and then they call it quits. They're like, hey, we tried. Because then that means there's no growth. If you can't, and then this is how it works everywhere. We see with Disney. Disney bought parts of Fox and other ESPN. If you can't gobble up others to get bigger, to build your pyramid, then it's not going to happen. And if they threw all this money over to get Activision, one of the biggest ones that you can get out there, and they're being said, no, you can't do it. It's like, all right, then fuck it. What's the point? There's no point then. That's it. They have to always settle for third place and probably even less if you throw in the PC world. And now with handhelds, with the Ally and Steam Deck and stuff, it's turning more into its own console space right there. So no one's going to give a shit. So this is it. This is it. This month.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
We'll be done. Yeah, because there's no way. If the judge just straight up says no, they can't appeal. That's it. They just can't do it. They'll have to work out some other deal. Maybe that's when they talk to activists. Like, all right, are you willing to sell off parts, you know, and sell off certain IPs? I don't know if that'll be a thing they want to do, but that's the only other alternative if the judge says no. But if he says yes, that's it. It's over. Then they can buy it and they can do whatever they want. Then we could stop talking about this shit. But either way, this is it. It's end of the month. It's done. The 20th to the 26th. That's it. We're done.
Barry Byrne says FTC got the nuke. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't really have any more to say on this. I just want it to be over one way or another. I don't care. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit if Microsoft wins or loses. I don't care. I just want this over, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny thing is to see on C-SPAN and stuff with Congress getting involved in this. I'm like, how dare these Japanese companies tell two American companies they can't merge? How dare they? We can't do that. We can't do that. Why don't we investigate them?
So, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. But hold on. This is interesting. GZDR says, if they don't close the deal by July 8th, they owe Activision $3 billion. How so?
No. It's because they have a close date. And that's the other thing. That gets all bumped up. But if this happens by within June, which is next week, that they want to go in front of a judge, if it gets said yes or no, then they don't have to pay any of that. But there was a closing cost if it goes surpassed the date, but there's a lot of stipulation stuff because it's like if one party was dragging their feet, but this is not that case. It's not an issue of Microsoft dragging their feet of getting all the paperwork done and making the transition as fast as possible. It's not their fault. This is FTC and CMA colluding to make sure this deal doesn't happen. You know, because that was the other thing when the judge before and it went to CMA and saying, oh, have you guys talked to CMA? And like, have you talked to the FTC about this? Like, oh, a little bit. What's a little bit? Oh, a few calls. How many calls? 74. 74. That's a little bit. I was like, all right. Yeah, this, none of this shit makes sense. So it's a lot of shady shit going on. I can't wait to see the movie. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Whether it happens or not, there's going to be a movie on this shit. And then this is why I say, I think if this doesn't go through, then Uncle Phil leaves. He's like, you know what? There's no reason for him to stick around. He's made buckets of money. He can go do something else. And that's
interesting theory.
And for what? Because then it hits him again as a failure. Forget about the games. Forget about the studios that can't produce. And now you can't even buy other studio. Now what? What good are you? You know, and just like with every company and every business, when shit isn't looking great, what do? You get new management. So I could easily see this is when he says, you know what? I'm going to take a step back. You know, we put a lot of effort into all these projects and blah, blah, blah. I have faith in whoever, you know, takes over my spot, throwing whoever you want. And then that's it. And then he's out because it's just going to look bad on the company. Oh, look, Phil fapped up again. He couldn't even get this deal done. Da, da, da. It sucks, but it is what it is.
I don't think that's going to happen.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think he's just going to stay status quo if the deal doesn't go through.
Well, remember what Nadella said when he was asked about this. He says that the future, what's the future? This was like 2 weeks ago or maybe 3 weeks now when it was an interview about the whole thing. And he says, we'll see what happens. He's like, well, where do you see the future after this? He's like, well, what future? If it's all about growth. That's all it comes down to, right? Every business needs to grow. And they see this as a growth opportunity, not just for them, but for the gaming industry, getting all these games from other platforms, blah, 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 blah. And if that doesn't happen, then there is no growth. So then there's no market. There's no space for them there. So that says it all right there, that if this doesn't happen, they're just going to move in another direction. And that's when they're like, hey, we tried. Let's put this fucking whole shit up for sale. Who wants it? And they get everything in a box, literally the Xbox. Slap your logo on it, Amazon or Apple, you know, fucking whoever else.
Wait, so that's another extreme. So you're saying if this deal doesn't go through
tonight, because the way they word it, the way Nadella put it, and the way in that interview,
the Nadella effect.
Yeah, and he's the big boss of Microsoft. Is that they put a lot into this, and think about this: was close to $70 billion. This is a huge deal, and if this can't happen, then they're being told there is no big growth for you. You will always either have to create your own studio or buy smaller ones, but you can't get the big boys. Forget about trying to get EA if they ever go for sale. Forget about trying to go where Ubisoft.
But they got Bethesda. That proves they can
get
shit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that at that point. And then even when that came out, our Lady Khan over FTC said she would have blocked that shit. You know, it's like, why? What's the hate? There's definitely some serious backstory that we'll find out in the movie of why she hates Microsoft so much. Because this is really about that. It's not about Xbox. It's about Microsoft. When the fact that they just even flat out reject it before even hearing anything out just proves it. So they didn't go after, they didn't say anything when Disney went to buy Fox. I mean, you know, at the 20th Century Fox, yeah. That was usually, they didn't say anything when Amazon went and bought MGM. These are big deals that are going on, and they didn't give a shit. Well, fuck it, go ahead, buy whatever you want, doesn't matter. But then when this comes up, and it's very odd that they would just jump on it. It's like, no, then not this. Why not this? What's so special about it? So. But it just from Nadella's approach and how they feel and everything, it just pointed that if they can't grow and play like the big boys that they usually are when it comes to the PC space, you know, they've bought Skype and a bunch of other ones. Remember, whenever something big comes up, they buy it. And that's it. That's always been their thing.
Can I project a little bit?
Yeah.
I feel like you more than anyone in this room has the most invested into this deal. That you feel like if it doesn't go through, that Phil failed you, and I feel like that's why.
I don't understand. Where does that even come from? They failed me all when they said no Gears 6. I have nothing. That's not an Activision game.
That's the point. Like they failed you with Gears. They failed you with table tennis is not them, but they failed you in other avenues. Halo.
They paid for that.
They failed you in a lot of avenues, and the one shining thing that they could potentially do is save Call of Duty.
That's not me either.
You did say that this Activision Microsoft deal is good for Call of Duty.
It's good
because
for Call
you don't
of
like
Duty.
The direction.
No, it's good for Call of Duty. Yeah, definitely. I don't like the direction, and it's great for them, and they can put on all the platforms, and they can change the game. But it's not the deciding factor for me. It's for them. The way if let's say Starfield was great and Halo was great, Infinite, and we had no issues, then wouldn't matter. But on a business side, those shits have flopped.
Well, Halo Infinite was bad. Starfield is 30 frames per second.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't rely on that shit. Not everybody's going to go and buy Starfield. That's not an everybody game. That's not like a Grand Theft Auto game.
What?
It's not going to happen. Yeah, it's not. The same group of people that buy Grand Theft Auto are not the same ones that are going to go buy Starfield.
Bro, yeah, no, the people who buy this game are going to be people who buy Skyrim and Fallout, which is like fucking everyone.
It's not going to pull it. It's not enough. It's not for all markets, and it's not going to happen. I don't see it.
How is it possibly not like
it? I don't see it.
How is it possibly for less market than Skyrim?
It's not the less market. It's just that interest. It's that world. It's just not as accessible when it comes to like a Grand Theft Auto where you can jump into that online world and do some racing. Don't want to do some racing? Do some heist. Don't want to do some heist? Just run around and just do dumb shit with your friends. To do that all in space? We're not getting that. Bro, I'm not getting that open world experience.
No, this isn't a live service game, but like, bro, like you do realize Skyrim, like the closest analog to this game, is one of the most played games of all time and like is right up there with GTA, right? Like,
but you know what Skyrim is. Nobody knew what Skyrim is when it came out. It's not a space game. It's what I'm saying. It's a genre. People like dragons. They like swords. They like running around doing all that shit. Space on this level, I think it's going to be a hard sell.
The difference is between fantasy and space. Like, yes, people love fantasy, but nobody loves space.
No, not that no one loves it, but it's not on that level. I don't see it going to pulling any of that big money. That's just it. I just don't see it.
Oh, by the way, real quick, I had to look up some numbers, right? Yes, you're right that Skyrim didn't sell as much as Grand Theft Auto. But, and this is from a day ago, Bethesda said this, the game in 12 years has sold 60 million copies. That is not niche, bro. That's a
lot. No, that's not what I'm saying.
But Adam said that space. Yeah, Adam said that it's not the same as Skyrim either.
What is Fallout sold? Because you want to talk about a niche setting that people may not get into, like post-apocalyptic retro futurism, more niche than space.
Well, post-apocalyptic is pretty mainstream these days.
Bro, like space is one of the most generic basic settings. Like people love spaceship.
All right, so Fallout 3 and 4 have sold about 13 million each. Those are pretty big numbers.
So can I make a quick comment?
Yeah.
I believe Brett said on this show, maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, now you have to tell me if I'm incorrect, Brett, whether it was Skyrim or Fallout. You said one of those games, what you liked about it is that everybody has some strong memories from those games where they were able to tell stories about things they encountered in the game. This is just my opinion, but after seeing that Starfield Direct, I think that game can have the exact same effect because,
yeah.
I mean, I wasn't sold on the game until I saw that Direct. I said, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to get this game day one. So I could definitely see that it has potential to be very successful. I think Microsoft will definitely get a return on their investment. And yeah, I think the numbers are going to surprise people when they see how well it actually does do.
That's so, why I agree with that. I think this game's going to be huge for sure. You know, again,
Bethesda,
go ahead, Carlos.
Bethesda quote Richard Bailey Jr. from the Coalition. Put it on your on your trailers. Put it on your tags. Put it on your cases. Say once Richard Bailey Jr. saw the 30 frames per second game, he was sold.
That's it. I mean, I hope it does. I hope it does. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I wish that was the case and I could say, but you know what? Halo bombed. A lot of space games that have come out with established communities have bombed. So
I think a lot of
Call of Duty Call of Duty tried space and it
bombed. Just because a lot of people jump the shark in space doesn't mean like a lot of the most popular shows and movies, like space is it's right up there with like fantasy. Like it's what you do with it. You can see bad fantasy, you can see good fantasy. Like it's so generic. That's it's like being like, oh man, that's a movie with cars. Like I don't know if people are gonna be into that, but it's I think that people know what to expect from a Bethesda game. At this point, they could set a Bethesda game in like a 1920s. Circus and people still be like, all right, like their name recognition is stronger than ever. Everybody knows what a Bethesda game is, how it plays. So the fact that this is just that, like, it you almost don't even need to know a lot about it.
I know. I bet we also know a lot of those people that didn't jump over when Fallout 76 came out. They're like, forget it. We don't want that type of game.
Well, that's because we know Bethesda want an online Fallout game. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, plus exactly. The obvious of that thing. Launched so bad.
Yeah, but I mean, eventually they fixed it up. They fixed it. It's great now, but it's too late. Bad taste. So.
Yep.
But anyway, we'll see. But anyway, anything else, Adam, about this whole FTC?
No, that's it. It's just glad this is it. It's coming finally coming to an end. This month is definitely done. And then that's it. Move on from there.
That's it. All right. And the last story of the night, threw this in here just for pure fun. Nicolas Cage was hanging out with Hideo Kojima. my prediction
is... Of course.
Yeah, so my prediction is Nicolas Cage will make a cameo in Death Stranding because Kojima loves throwing his Hollywood friends in that game. So, I'm calling it now.
Well, Cage just said he will never turn anything down, and we know this because of all the movies he's in and stuff. He don't give a shit. So as soon as he heard about this game, and I guess he was on stage and did he say how he got a part of the project? Did he reach out or did someone reach out to him?
They reached out to him and he said somebody in his household was a big fan of the franchise. Most likely his kid.
One of his kids.
Yeah. You see, there you go. He didn't turn it down. He didn't turn it down.
If you saw him on stage, like it was pretty, like it's not so much that he just doesn't turn down things. He was actually really excited. Like, the way he felt was like video games were a space he's never been invited into before. And so it's kind of a new thing for him to do. And I'm sure at this point in his career, like, fuck it, I'll try something new.
Yeah.
Didn't they also stick him in Dead by Daylight?
Yeah.
Like him, they did, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Not a character, just him.
That's it. I do
have some advice for Nicolas Cage. He better not get too close to Kojima, because Jeff Keighley will not appreciate that. So
just focus on
whatever role it is that you have for Death Stranding, but don't take it further than that.
No, dude, between those two,
put him in one of his movies, Kojima movies.
They are both just serial star fuckers, and I can see that causing drama.
Oh man! By the way, I'm looking at the tweet that Kojima put out, the replies. Somebody put Nicolas Cage delivering boxes and Death Stranding 2, and it's a picture of him as Ghost Rider.
Kojima live in? Does he live in the United States now? Does he have a place here, or
still,
no?
He has a branch in the United States, but no, he's still in Japan. Okay. So Nick Cage, it almost seems like Nick Cage, after he got off the stage with Jeff Keighley, just the next week he flew over to Japan. I'm like, you know what? I want to go to Japan.
No, you know, Kojima approached him during that conference or something like that.
He wasn't at the conference. He was in Japan. So, you know.
Okay. Then I don't really like just.
Yeah, no, it's literally the next week after that conference, Nick Cage just pops up in Japan.
Japan.
I mean, maybe he could be promoting Renfield.
That was pretty bad too. That was pretty bad.
But you know,
lots of people love Renfield.
I don't know what the hell they were seeing, because that shit was. Oh god, Pig is better though. Watch Pig. That's a good one. Cage movie came out this year.
But anyway, yeah. So he's he seems to scan everybody in. So
yeah. So yeah, expect him in Death Stranding too. I'm calling it now. A cameo at the very least, you know.
Hi, they got me to do some motion capture.
All right, man. Good stuff. That's the show for tonight. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Rich, I want to thank you once again for being on tonight, sir.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Always a fun conversation.
Yeah, man, for sure. And I'm glad you told us all those fun stories. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Rich Bailey Jr. And of course, at the Coalition. As I mentioned, a lot of the games I spoke about, I've already written some previews of, but I'm still writing stuff from Summer Games Fest, as well as some other things that are coming up. So I definitely would encourage you to check out the website, thecoalition.com, Coalition with a K.
You already know, man. Good stuff. And Adam, what's going on with the podcast?
There's a few things with that, but also over at the Coalition, The Last of Us Part One is finally verified also for Steam Deck, and I did a little coverage with that, with performance charts and benchmarks and stuff, and it works. It's between 30 and 40. The hardest scenes that was making it chug to 16 and 15, those beautiful frame rate numbers are gone, which is great, and people need to jump into that when it's on sale. Don't pay full price for that shit.
It's not 60.
Yeah, right? Ooh, it's not 60. We got a... Hopefully this week we'll get another episode, because we were out of town. Rich was out. I was out of town. So we didn't get to cover the latest episode. Well, the past episode, episode 5 of Fear the Warp. But now episode 6 is out. So we're going to do a combo deal and bang both of those out and get ready for Dead City that's coming next week. So that's a much better show.
I'm looking forward to it. This weekend?
Oh,
the
18th? Yeah. No,
that's the 18th? What's the 18th? What day is that? I have no idea.
Sunday. Sunday.
There you go. So that's when it, yep. That is when it airs on Sunday. So, yep. Yeah. So I am Negan. That's over iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Coalition, of course, and over at Coalition's YouTube.
Good stuff. All right, people, we are out of here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always hopping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content and videos such as I got to get out of that habit, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Starship Troopers is such a good movie.
Damn right. Brett Murdoch.
For real it is.
Yes. And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, people, you already know. We'll be back on Sunday. Later.
Peace.